This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. In modern popular culture, the term cakewalk has come to mean something effortless and easy. But the word is actually more than 150 years old and was first used to describe a pre-Civil War dance contest organized by plantation owners to occupy enslaved workers. Dancers were coupled up and performed a jumping and kicking sequence that actually mocked their high society owners. The children's book Mirandy and Brother Wind celebrates the cakewalk tradition through a story of a young girl who is determined to win her own town's cakewalk for the very first time. A musical adaptation of the book is now on stage at the Raleigh Little Theater through November 16th, and we're going to get a special performance in our studio today. Joining me first is playwright Michael J. Bobbitt. Michael, welcome.
Hi, welcome. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about how you came to adapt this children's book to a play.
You know, I was actually at a Barnes & Noble with my son, and I was thumbing through the shelves, the books on the shelves at the store, and just came across the book. I didn't know much about it. Hadn't ever referenced it, but looked at the pictures and the covers and thumbed through the book and thought, this has to be a musical. It has all the elements that musicals need: song, dance, fictional characters, conflict. And so I was compelled to do it. Reached out to the publishers and Patricia McKissick, and she said yes. And I guess the rest is history, as they say.
Patricia McKissick, the author. So set up this. It's set in the early 1900s. Set the premise and the characters for us.
So the play takes place in 1906 in Ridgetop, South Carolina, around the time of the annual cakewalk, which was usually held in the spring. The cakewalk is a traditional dance in the black community, and the winner of the cakewalk dance wins a cake. And so we meet little Mirandy, who is, I think, 10 years old, and she really wants to win the cakewalk dance this year. She's been practicing all year. There are rivals in town that may be a little bit better than her, and she really wants to win this year. So she sets out to find the best partner and hears about the legend of Brother Wind. And he is a fictional character that can kick up his heels and twirl and swirl, and she thinks that he might be a great dance partner for her. And so Mirandy sets out to capture Brother Wind so she can make him her dance partner. And she also learns from her grandmother, who tells her that she can't put shackles on Brother Wind. He is special. He is free. And so in the process, Mirandy learns about slavery and friendship and just having fun in life.
All right, well, we're joined by two actors from the production now. Kwamea Wilkerson plays the character of Mirandy. Kwamea, welcome. Good to have you here.
Hello. Thank you.
Also with us is Janice LaRoche. She is the character of Mirandy's grandmother, Grandma Beasley. Janice, welcome. Good to have you here as well.
Thank you.
So we'd like to have you do a scene for us, Janice. Would you set this one up for us?
Yes, absolutely. This is a bedroom scene where I am helping Mirandy, just tucking her in after a long day's work. And we get into a conversation just about life and about her desire to win this cakewalk and what's really important in life, and leave her with some things to think about. And so, yes, that's basically the scene.
All right.
Mirandy, you've been working yourself to the bone. Look at you. You all tuck it out.
I just have to catch that Brother Wind so I can win.
Back when me and your grandpa danced, the cakewalk was one of the only times that we could all be together. Sometimes we were kept away from each other. Many times we were taken away from each other. Babies from mothers, brothers from sisters.
That's very sad. I don't know what I would do if I didn't have you and Madeer.
Well, it was sad. And sometimes the way we held each other up was by singing and dancing.
Grandma Beasley, can you please show me some of your cakewalk steps?
You youngins do it so different nowadays. Back in my day, we used to kick high with our backs arched and swirl like a dog chasing his tail. Baby, we used to jig, shuffle, break down, and backstep. And when we really wanted to show our tail, we'd do the buck dance and the jump Jim Crow. If I tried that right now, you'd have to fetch me a barrel of liniments.
Nobody could hold a candle to you and Grandpa. I miss Grandpa. He was the only one that paid me no never mind. I just want to win so everybody can be proud of me, just like Orlinda.
Child, The way you run around here, ranting and raving with Orlinda, skipping out on your chores and ignoring that sweet boy Ezel. Well, do you think your grandpa would be proud of you?
If I win, he would.
When the dance is over and you finish eating that cake, what you got to show for all that commotion? A sore belly and no friends. Now that's all I got to say. Except, go to sleep and don't let those bedbugs bite. But if they do, I hope they get a taste of the sweet Mirandy that I know.
That is a scene from the musical Mirandy and Brother Wynn, now on stage at the Raleigh Little Theater. Actors Kwamea Wilkerson and Janice LaRoure with me now in the studio. Janice, tell us more about this relationship between Grandma Beasley and Mirandy.
Yes, yeah, so Grandma Beasley, as a child, was enslaved. And so she knows what it is to be enslaved, and she knows what it is to be free. She knows the importance of family and community, and she wants to help Mirandy to understand the benefits of community, of family, of friends, and knowing what she went through, she wants Mirandy to kind of take that in and to develop her in that way.
Michael Bobbitt, I think it's one of the beauties of Patricia McKissick's story, isn't it? That it is a story that can teach us a lot about a culture that hadn't been exposed through children's literature very much at all, but in a kind of a familiar and terrific storytelling style. I mean, it's a great story about a grandmother, about a couple of generations. And in the process, we learn a lot about a culture that was largely unseen in children's literature.
Yeah, I agree. One of my own personal missions as a playwright is to write stories that celebrate culture. I think we spend so much time in this country talking about the travesties of race relations as opposed to the cultural contributions of the different races that we have in our country. And so I try to do that in my plays without losing the fact that these issues are given circumstances. And I think, Janice and Mia, that scene was so beautiful, and it's my favorite scene in the show. And truly, I think that scene is the heart, that relationship is the heart of the show, and really expresses how two different generations can come together and sort of work together to become better people. But you're right, Patricia does this in most of her books, and it was just such a pleasure being able to work on this musical and bring those characters to life.
Well, that relationship is the heart of the show. Its legs are the cakewalk, and we talked about the fact that we thought we knew what this meant, but in fact, cakewalk had a very particular meaning 150 years ago or so, and joining us now to talk more about that is the musical's choreographer, L.D. Burris. L.D., welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Frank. I'm glad to be here.
So tell us about the history of the cakewalk.
Well, as you alluded to earlier in your introduction, the cakewalk is something that started in the antebellum South. It was a dance that was done by slaves, an opportunity for them to celebrate their own culture, sort of coming from Africa. And they would arch their backs, kick their heels up high, promenading and mocking and making fun of the plantation owners. The dance, certainly, as Michael was saying, had, in terms of culture, was one of the first crossover dances in that it impacted our society at that time. And then later, even though it went out of favor after Reconstruction, it came back in favor in the early 1900s, especially by a couple of dancers named Burt Williams and George Walker, who challenged William Vanderbilt at the time, the millionaire, to come out to a cakewalk competition. And they went to his house with the press and delivered an invitation for the cakewalk competition. He didn't follow through on it, but...
Well, tell us about this crossover effect. I mean, here are these sort of plantation owners being entertained, maybe knowing, but possibly not, that they're also being mocked in the process. And then they embraced this dance. I mean, how did it find its way into white society?
I think it's based on what we were saying what you're saying, in that it looked so easy that when they were doing it, it looked really easy and elegant and delightful. And I think it just captured the imagination and the interest of the slaveholders. And in addition to getting the plantation owners would get together and have their different slaves involved in competitions for a cake for the men and molasses candy for the women. Often it was done separately, but eventually I think they paired them up into couples. And it just looked so elegant and easy that everyone wanted to learn how to do the cakewalk.
Tell us more about the evolution of this dance. Well, how would it have changed by 1906 when Mirandy and her grandmother were working on this routine?
Well, yes, by then it was having a resurgence in popularity, and it was being taught in ballrooms. So unlike most dances by middle-class and working families who would learn the dances by doing them in clubs and house parties, folks were going to ballrooms and learning how to do the cakewalk. So it was really fascinating, and I think people had a great time doing it. They loved how they looked. They would go out and make sure they bought fancy clothes and gowns, and the guys would wear tuxedos and top hats, and they just wanted to look and feel good.
It's kind of proto-disco in a way, fancied up and in a big ballroom. Well, there is a song in the production that is all about the cakewalk, and Mia, I wonder if you could do that part for us.
Sure. Anything for you. Gonna be a cakewalk this Saturday night. I'm gonna prance at the cakewalk till my heels take flight. I'm gonna polish my dancing shoes. There's no way I'm gonna lose that cakewalk this Saturday night. I got a year's worth of practice filling up my toes. And last year I should have won, but I froze. Until I win, I ain't gonna rest. Show me that step where you pump your chest. I wanna come out smelling like a high-strutting grand champion, triple-decker winning rose when I win that cakewalk this Saturday night. I'm gonna strut at the cakewalk and I'll be a sight. Spit shine my dancing shoes. I'm trading in my Terpsichorean blues at the cakewalk. Give me that cakewalk. I'm gonna claim that cakewalk Saturday night.
That is Mia Wilkerson singing the cakewalk song from the Raleigh Little Theater production of Mirandy and Brother Wind. Oh, Mia, we're not going to keep you at the Little Theater very long. We're happy to have you here now.
Thank you.
Tell us about your role in this, and just as because, you know, your character is learning something from another generation. Her grandmother's telling her about a period that she never experienced. She's the beneficiary of a lot of hard work. I mean, what's it like for you to be an actress in this play have you learned anything?
I did learn a lot. Actually, to be in this play, it's really cool. It's a cool experience to be in the shoes of Mirandy and learn all the things that she does learn and go through the cakewalk and her character as being really curious and wanting to do something and really putting her heart and mind into something and setting it like she's going to do it. And it's just really fun being her. She's cool. She's quirky. She's fun.
Michael, have you staged this other places? And when you do, so how has it changed? I mean, what have you learned about this production since you wrote the play?
This is actually the third time the play has been produced. We premiered it at my theater in the D.C. region, and then it was done at a great theater in Fort Worth, Texas, Jubilee Theater. And so it's nice to sort of see it at the Raleigh Little Theater. I love these characters so much, and I just love... I love watching the actors dig into the roles. They taught me so much. Seeing the Raleigh Little Theater's production taught me so much about the culture and about the fun and about how another thing I loved about it is that they added a couple of young kids to the character. The play was written for adults to perform for kids, but it was so great to see real kids there. And what I also loved about Mia's performance is that she's close in age to Mirandy. When we first did the production, we had an adult actor play the role, but Mia sort of embraced this young girl, and it's just so refreshing. I love Mirandy's ambition And I love that she also learns things along the way. She resists them a bit, but by the end, we see that she's gotten everything she's been taught.
And I know that this started for you when you read Patricia McKissick's children's book, but then you did some research along the way, including conversations with your mother and grandmother. Tell us about the research.
I did. Well, I told we had a talk back at Raleigh Little Theater, and I told everyone that my dad was from Raleigh, North Carolina, so that was a fun surprise. But, those were generations ago, and so certainly you can find a lot of information online, but to have my mom and my grandmother, who are from South Carolina, not far from this fictional place, tell me about their daily life and some of the things that they had to do on a regular basis, like nailing the shoes on the mule and sweeping the front yard and some of their concoctions for fixing ailments. It was really fun to sort of learn a little bit more about my family when they were kids. But all of that stuff sort of made its way into the play, and I think it makes for a more enriching, real experience.
We're talking about a cakewalk today on The State of Things, based on Mirandy and Brother Wind. It's on stage at the Raleigh Little Theater through November 16th. LD, what about the research for the dance itself? Is it being performed much? Did you have to go back and look it up and see how it was done elsewhere?
I did, because the research on the cakewalk is certainly one that has some photographs and a lot written about it, but there's not a lot of visual records regarding the cakewalk from that time. I did have the experience back in 1983 when I first decided to come to Durham to dance with Chuck Davis of being in New York for a wonderful festival called Dance Black America, and got to see an amazing couple whose names don't come to me right at the moment, who did sort of a minstrel show which involved the cakewalk. So I looked those two up. I have a copy of that DVD and some others. And then, of course, you know, I'm taking a little artistic license just because I think that, you know, the movement, I've embodied a lot of it from some of the things I did with Chuck. So, a lot of visual research as well as sitting with it, looking at the dancers and the people, the actors that I had so that we could make it come to life.
There is one video. I think it was, it's an old kinescope that was done in 1903 that, of course, has made its way to YouTube.
Yes.
Which means it's made its way to our website, stateofthings.org. So if you want to see at least one rendition of we do have that.
Yeah.
And of course, taking license, I mean, everybody brought their own thing to this dance. So
yes.
that's kind of the fun of it.
Yeah.
And I guess, Michael, another question I have for you is that the fact that you've taken this from a children's book, it's a musical, but I guess it's something you want to resonate with an adult audience.
Yeah, it's sort of my dirty little secret as a playwright for children's plays is that I want to make sure I'm also entertaining the adults, not only because they're ticket buyers, but because, you know, sitting through this production, they should also be part of the world. And so I write plays for kids and their parents.
The kids can make the parents buy tickets sometimes. That's another dirty little secret. But you've taken a different approach, and we appreciate it. Michael J. Bobbitt is the playwright, talking about his adaptation of the children's book Mirandy and Brother Wind. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you so much.
L.D. Burris is the choreographer and the musical director of the production. Thanks, L.D. And
Thank you, Janice,
I just made you musical director,
it's actually
a musical Tim production.
Smith.
I've just added words. It's my own improvisation on actually our out for the program.
Yes.
Janice LaRoure and Kwamea Wilkerson, two actors featured in the production. Thanks both for being on the program.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The musical Mirandy and Brother Wind is on stage at the Raleigh Little Theater through November 16th. You can find out more details and see the video at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, a peek into small-town life in the South. Stay tuned.